your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's roll. Level three has begun. It's the Buffalo Bills meltdown is now complete this evening in Western New York. Different year, same old song and dance, as Aerosmith once said. Same old song and dance over and over and over again. It really is incredible how the Buffalo Bills franchise over the years has managed to lose games in the way that they do. Like, it's one way to lose a game. It's another way to, like, lose in crazy ways. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills lost the Super Bowl because they missed the field goal, right? Just barely missed. The Music City Miracle that could have been, maybe was a forward pass, wasn't, whatever, either way. The Dallas Cowboys on Monday night once in Buffalo years ago, the Bills blew like a 25-point lead and lost on a last-second field goal. I could go on. It really is incredible the different ways that they find to lose games. And this game, this is a new one. As somebody who's watching the Buffalo Bills play pretty much every one of their games since 1977, I'm sort of hardened to this, right? Like play like the 13-second one. How about I even get to the, like, there's so many of the 13-second one. They're up on a case, they managed to lose in 13 seconds left, right? Like, I can go on and on and on. I'm sort of, you know, I've been a fan for so long that I've seen it all. Right, I've seen them good, I've seen them bad, I've seen the pain, I've seen it all, and now we're really back to a bad time once again. Shout out to everybody joining us on Sirius XM channel 159. This is Sports Rage on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're going to welcome our AM radio affiliates momentarily. The Denver Broncos. Don't look now, but the Broncos are suddenly 4-5. We can focus in on the Buffalo Bills and their underachievement, but The Denver Broncos deserve credit. They've been playing good football. And I don't think we should be shocked that they won this football game. They just beat the Kansas City Chiefs in their last game. Right? If you look at the Denver Broncos, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs by double digits. They beat the Chiefs pretty convincingly. Right? They also played a close game with the Chiefs. They played the Chiefs twice in like a three-week span, lost a close one, and then beat them. They beat the Green Bay Packers. Now they beat the Buffalo Bills. It's pretty obvious that anybody that watches football that Russell Wilson looks better now than he has, right? The throws, the mobility, the decisions in the pocket. It's pretty clear that the Denver Broncos' morale is much better than it was, right? It's, you know, you see with the Raiders, and we'll get into this. Mo Khan's going to join us at level three here. This is the tough part. This is the one thing of being a radio and TV and a sports talk show host. Listen, it's awesome. You're doing what you love, and I can't complain. I'm sitting here talking about sports, but every once in a while, you get this sort of like tough loss as a fan. And, you know, do you really want to talk about this over and over? Right? It happened to me early in my career. I started the show in 2002. And it was the Tom Brady Super Bowl against the Rams, the St. Louis Rams. Kurt Warner. And the Rams were like 14-point favorites in the game. They were big favorites. They were two-touchdown favorites. Right? The Patriots were an upstart team. Who's Tom Brady? And the Rams are going to kill him. And it was my first show, like, coming on. And I was on once a week, like, when I started. And I was on Sunday night. So I was coming on after the Super Bowl. And I was all stoked. It's my first show on right live after a Super Bowl. And I got murdered in that game. I lost so much money. I had to do a show right after. And I was like, wow, I got to sort of separate. You know what I mean? I can't, you know. And so over the years, it really started to happen a lot. Right? Like, I remember when I was the host of the Expos post-game show, sometimes I'd bet against them. And the other team would come back and win. And I'd be taking all these callers that are all super excited. And I'm actually really upset because I just lost a massive bet. So, you know, you've got to deal with it, right? It's a cold world. We just live in it. But it's just devastating from a betting standpoint. But from a fan standpoint, I was thinking about it. And I was watching the Buffalo Bills tonight, and it's almost like, we'll use Mount Everest as an example. So it's like the Buffalo Bills climb Mount Everest, and they're passing everybody else, and everybody else is like, man, those guys are great climbers. They're a lot better than we are. This is unbelievable. Look at those guys. And right now, the Bills are like those climbers that are like, you know, knocking on heaven's door. They're running out of oxygen. They climbed it too fast, and they're stuck at the second peak before the top. You know what I mean? That's the Bills. They're stuck. They're stuck, and they're not like climbing slow. They're stuck, and now other people are climbing them, and they're out of breath, and it's not pretty to watch. This team is falling apart right now. To lose in the fashion that they just did. All right, we're going to welcome our AM radio affiliate. Right now, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretz. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the People of Bustler, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Monday Night Meltdown has begun, West Coast style. Shout out to everybody joining us on the Mightier 1090, the 50,000-watt juggernaut up and down the coast, SoCal in the house. Let's do this thing. It's the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos. Weird game tonight in Western New York, although there was nothing weird about it from the Buffalo Bills' perspective. Just another weird, strange loss for a Buffalo Bill football team that suddenly finds himself with the same record as the Las Vegas Raiders. Suddenly find themselves the same record as the Indianapolis Colts. Suddenly, the Denver Broncos, who were the laughingstock of the National Football League, well, they've got one less win than the Buffalo Bills do right now. And the Buffalo Bills get the New York Jets up next. It's one thing to lose a football game, and clearly the Buffalo Bills, they were 7.5-point favorites. They should have won this football game. And we're talking about a football team that had a lead on the Kansas City Chiefs with 13 seconds left and found a way to lose. Well, they just found new ways to lose this evening. You know, it really is the Buffalo Bills. They're like it's like a horror movie that you think you know the ending, but they've made like 99 alternative endings. It's like, well, I've already seen this movie. I know how it ends. You'd be like, no, this is a different ending. And either way, it's the same result, all right? Either way, it's the same result.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now, for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Buffalo Bills to get Russell Wilson into the 3rd-and-10 situation after a sack. As good as Russell Wilson played tonight, he gives up a terrible sack. The Buffalo Bills blitz again. Russell Wilson throws up just this ball to nobody in the air. There's a pass interference penalty on the Bills because, of course, why wouldn't there be? The Denver Broncos attempt to kick the game-winning field goal, miss a 41-yarder after they've already missed an extra point off the upright and muff the snap of an extra point, and the Bills lose because they have too many men on the field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, and the pit suppliers, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. We've been in Monday Night Football mode this evening. A wild football game in Western New York this evening sees the Denver Broncos beat the Buffalo Bills 23-22 as the Buffalo Bills had too many men on the field for a missed field goal attempt. And it was a chaotic field goal attempt to begin with. And the Denver Broncos missed an extra point. Like, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you just turned the ball over 4 times and lost the game on a last-second field goal by 1 point to a team who missed an extra point off the upright, missed an extra point because of a bad snap, and then missed a field goal. Like, you know, you want to talk about bad special teams. It's not like the Broncos, like, that's what's so horrific. Like, you just lost to a team that missed a 41-yard field goal. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. And I would say, and Mo, TSN stats, was a wide receiver, football player, meteorologist, play-by-play man. I would say that I can't believe it, but this is the same team that lost a football game with 13 seconds left kicking off somehow. We've seen it over and over. It's hard to even keep up with the different ways that they've lost. Some of them against other great teams tonight. Yeah. To lose, to have too many men on the field. The only time I've ever seen that before to happen in that circumstance was in the Grey Cup Championship when the Montreal David Duval, former Auburn Tiger, Montreal Alouette kicker, missed a field goal for the win for the Montreal Alouettes against the Rough Riders in a championship game. And same thing. The Rough Riders had too many men on the field. They took the kick. He did the kick over again, and they won. It's an incredibly heartbreaking and ludicrous way to lose a football game. Mo, how you doing tonight? What were your thoughts on that game? We'll get to McDermott and Allen and everybody in a second, but the actual game itself, what did you think?
Yeah, what's going on, Gabe? Well, first off, this game reminded me, if you remember, in 2007, the Cowboys-Bills Monday night game, right?
When I was at that game.
I remember that.
I was literally in the end zone in, like, the third row, like, the ball hit the net right in front of me type of deal, Mo. Yeah, I was there for that. That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's at that level of, like, you know, this turns a franchise in the wrong direction. And you look at this game from the first play to the last play, it was a comedy of errors for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, we were talking off air about what happened having 12 men on the football field. Well,
the Bills got the ball to start the game. The first play of the game, they dumped off a screen pass to James Cook. He fumbled the ball from the first play of the game.
Right. And the rule of thumb is before special teams play will happen, the captain of that unit will count how many guys are on the football field. So there's two bleep ups by the staff who counted the guys going on the field and whoever the captain is who didn't count properly. So that cost the Bills this football game in terms of the conclusion. But the overall body of this game, Gabe, I wonder why Ken Dorsey deviated from the running game from the get-go. Because you're talking about the Broncos, who aren't a strong run defense, but very good in the pass defense. And you saw what happened with Stephon Diggs. He only had 5 targets for 34 yards on 3 catches. But the reality is they could have established the running game much more. I know they got scared with what James Cook did on the first play, but guess what? You have to go back to him. And you saw he was a bit glitchy with the football in his hands when he got the handoffs in the second half of that matchup. I just thought that Josh Allen did not read the football field well. I think full credit has to go to Vance Joseph, the Broncos defensive coordinator, who had a great game plan by saying to Josh Allen and Ken Dorsey, well, beat us with a pass that goes beyond 10 yards. And Josh Allen could not do that on Monday night. And now you go into the final 7 games, Gabe, and we both said off-air, they got to go 5-2 to get to 10 wins and maybe get into the wild card, given how well the AFC North is, and maybe, just maybe, the Raiders and others get back to the wild card races themselves.
I said 23-22, 24-22. I'm exasperated. I'm like, I can't believe, like, either way, whatever. Sorry, my bad, 24-22. I'm actually seeing a highlight over here. Like, I just, and at home, too, Mo. And at home, that's another thing, too. Like, just, for, you know, to do this to your fans on a Monday night after losing to the Bengals, it's just, it's over and over. The DeMar Hamlin game last year, the playoff game, they've been flat. Now getting to the real stuff here. You look at they score 26.7 points a game or whatever coming into tonight. It was technically ranked 7th, yet they're not really the 7th best offense in the NFL. Right, it was deceptive. They had a big output against the Raiders. They had a big output against the Commanders. You talked about Ken Dorsey, the erraticness, the lack of identity on offense, the week-to-week different, the lack, and the thing, you just nailed it too. The inability and the refusal of Dorsey and McDermott to attack other teams' weaknesses, Mo. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of like, okay, listen, this week, this team's not very good against the pass. Let's unleash it and have Josh throw it 40 times. And, okay, Denver can't stop the run. They seem to panic because Cook fumbled and they handed it off and they fumbled, but still you don't abandon because of that. And we saw even Latavius Murray would look good when he had the football. I it's pretty clear. I had a problem with Ken Dorsey last year. I was like, okay, we'll see. Maybe now in a second year he'll be more comfortable. No, it's getting worse. How many times, Mo, have you just scratched and, like, wondered, what the hell was that play call? Like, why would you do that? So, Josh Allen isn't playing great. Dorsey isn't helping. Dorsey, to me, definitely has to go. I'm not saying tomorrow, at the end of the year, whatever. They need a new offensive coordinator. Now we get to Sean McDermott. At some point, that conversation has to be had, doesn't it, Mo? Because
I think it will. But
You can't get rid of 53 people. And the other thing is, I'll throw it to you, but my deal is the lack of emotion and passion with the football team. So it's one thing to be losing. There's no life. There was no life against the Bengals in that playoff game. Josh Allen's not having fun. You see, you know, even after the Jet loss in the first game of the year, he had like a nervous breakdown after the game, right? It's not Diggs' fault. Diggs is trying to light a fire under people all the time. Have they tuned McDermott out? And forget about tuning it out, because that's more of a hockey thing about the room. From an X and O standpoint, McDermott's defense gets beat over and over again. And I don't want to hear Milano and Trey White aren't there.
Yeah, no, like you said before the top of the hour, they sent 2 full breach blitzes when the Broncos told Russ, hey, if they send the house, they're still up there because Jerry Jeudy will beat his release offline, which he did. And this poor marking by the Buffalo Bills secondary because they panicked because they didn't expect Russ to throw a pop fly in the air to be a pass interference call. And that's the thing about Sean McDermott, though, Gabe, right? You know, I believe the Colts gave him a new deal, I think last year it was. And now are they willing to eat that salary? And I think they will because, again, Gabe, they're at a point now where they're going to have to reload because Stephon Diggs probably won't be there next year. Right now, I believe they're $9 million over the cap as we speak. Their O-line is atrocious. And I've pointed this out to you for the last know, 24 months, if not 3 years, that they cannot pass block or run block for this team. And they had a good chance to run block today, which, as we said before, Ken Dorsey refused to do so. And this thing now for them moving forward here is this, that with seven games left, the season's not over. But at 5-5, if they can go 5-2 and get themselves in the wild card, then maybe they are a tough route being a road team than being a home team. There's no question right now for Sean McDermott, though. He has to take a long, serious examination of himself and his staff on whether or not they are the proper people in place that can lead this team to prosperity, which has not been the case the last couple of years.
And the problem is the Bills just consistently lose close games. It's always, I can't believe that happened, or I can't believe this happened, but it constantly happens, right? And you know, and a good example is Josh Allen. Josh Allen was 0-5 in overtime, like, coming into this year. Like, has he won an overtime game? Josh Allen's never won a road playoff game before. Like, there's a lot more sizzle to stake here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morency. Man, I'm still in shock about the Buffalo Bills. I apologize. I said 23-22, 24-22. Either way, the game stayed under, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm just sort of like, it's disappointing as a lifelong Bill fan. And we'll get to more positive stuff at other teams. There's a lot of teams kicking ass, including Mo Khan's Raiders, and we know we've got a lot of Raider fans watching and listening. But as far as McDermott is concerned, it's always tough when you're a team that's good. Right? When you're a team that's good, but you're not good enough. Because it's one of those deals like, wow, like the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Bills have a lot of similarities, I always find. Like, they haven't won it forever. They're good. They're close all the time. They have stars on their team. So it's sort of like if you're the Leafs, like, well, we're not going to get rid of Austin Matthews. He's really good. We're not going to get rid of Mitch Marner. He's really good. Yet, we don't win. We've never won. We don't win with these two, but they're too good to get rid of. I'm not saying that, and the Bills are not getting rid of Josh Allen. So the question really is, and I'm not one of these people, Mo, that after a loss and all emotional, fire everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody, because, yeah, who you hire? What, you know what I mean? Like, it's fans overreacting or stupid. I get that. But it is a conversation that needs to be had as far as the constant close losses, which that falls on the coach, Mo. Point blank. Right? From McDermott not wanting to squib kick it against the Chiefs to his constant, you know, what about, you know, blaming Leslie Frazier, essentially. I'll take over the defense. I'll show you guys. It's worse. Right? You know what I mean? And, oh, Matt Milano's not there. So what? The sky falls? I understand he's not there. Fine. But the constant close losses, and they always say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And McDermott doesn't adapt ever. Like, he doesn't adapt in-game. He shows up with his game plan. That's the game plan on defense, and he's going to go with what he does. Offensively, who knows what the hell they're going to do. They're all over the place. They're erratic, and whatever works, they stop doing. It's a freaking mess. Let's just call it out for what it is. And on the other side, let's give credit to Denver, who have now beaten Kansas City and Buffalo in back-to-back games.
Yeah, the Bills are like that boy band that's playing their hits from like 5 years ago in today's society, right? They haven't really adapted and come up with new stuff. And I think now for McDermott, you're absolutely right about him not being adaptive to what he has. He's very frugal with his game plans and doesn't really adjust on the fly. And, you know, look, again, it goes back to maybe his philosophy that you think about Leslie Frazier. I mean, he took the year off, but pretty much he's a scapegoat, right? But they played better under Leslie Frazier when it comes to the statistical department for the Buffalo Bills defense. But the amount of investment that they did, right? You bring in Von Miller, who does not look anywhere close to where he was before the injury last November, Gabe. And you saw today that, you know, his pass rushing skills were very limited. And maybe he gets better as you get more reps in at some point here. But where was Greg Rousseau, right? It was A.J. Epenesa that got the sack on Russell Wilson. But you invested highly in these high-end draft picks, Ed Oliver included, but these guys were nowhere to be found today, and Russell Wilson had a fantastic game. I mean, he was, what, 24 for 29? I was very a game manager like level of quarterback success that he had out there, and he improvised when he got flushed out of the pocket. So I just think that overall the Bills did not look like they were prepared as much as they should have been for the small details, and the Broncos were, and that's where they won that football game. Think about it now, Gabe, right? The two field goals late in the first half and then the one at the end of the fourth quarter, right? They weren't panicked at all. They had their time. They got the field goal units on out there and made the kicks. The Buffalo Bills, if that was the other way around, probably would have panicked and bleeped up at some point during those kicks if it was them in that position. So this thing now for them moving forward here with the Jets coming up, you're playing a top five NFL defense in the New York Jets here. And you saw what they did on Sunday night against the Raiders where they almost won that football game. If they get the Jets, that is, if the Jets get 20 points in that football game, they probably beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo on Sunday afternoon.
And one thing that we always hear all the time, and you just talked about it, about being over the cap. You look at these other teams that are super aggressive in bringing players in and just going all in all the time, and the Bills are more systematic about it. But how is it? Like, why? Like, you, and this is on Bean. Like, why are they so over the cap? Like, who did you pay? You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the Bills team, you look at other teams, and they have multiple stars. Like, who's worthy of getting all this money on the Bills? So Josh Allen gets paid, and Stephon Diggs gets paid.
Yeah, Trey got paid as well. Milano got paid.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, you know, but that's what I'm saying. So, like,
Oliver,
so what, enough that you spent your entire cap on these guys? That's bad management, right? It's a train wreck. So just for the record. But they're never in on anybody. Right. Whenever someone like really is available, they're never really aggressive about it. They never really try. They need another wide receiver. Gabriel Davis is not good enough. Like, Stephon Diggs is good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Davis is a number three, Mo. You were a wide receiver. He's a number three. He's not a number two. He had one good game against Kansas City in the playoffs years ago. And it was a great analogy by you, right? That they're living in the past. The Bills have a bad tendency to overvalue their own talent as well and not recognize. Like I said, they send the same guys out and they expect different results. So listen, if the playoffs started today, all right, or if the playoffs started this week, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs of the AFC are the one seed with a 7-2 record. The Houston Texans would be in the playoffs. The Texans would be the 7th seed and would play the Bills.
That would be the 4th game on Saturday.
It'd be the first one for sure. The Bills, the Bills had an opportunity to knock them out, and they would have been in this spot, right? But no, of course not. They screwed it up. So the Texans 5-4, the 7th seed would be in Baltimore. 7-3, the 2 seed. The Cleveland Browns would be the 6 seed against Jacksonville, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who might be the worst 6-3 team in the history of the NFL, but they are 6-3, would play the Miami Dolphins. So as far as this AFC picture is pretty wild, and never mind that, just that, like looking at the standings right now in the AFC, man. So Miami 6-3, Buffalo 5-5. You got everybody in the AFC North with good records, but they all play each other. They're going to start losing games
on Thursday night, especially.
Yeah, two of them will. They all play each other this weekend. Yeah. Suddenly, look, Indianapolis don't suck. They're 5-5. Houston suddenly are good. They're 5-4. Jacksonville 6-3. Your Raiders are 5-5. This is going to be a wild month of December coming up, man, for the playoffs to get into the AFC, Mo.
Yeah, and don't forget, this might be one of the best weekends for the NFL because Vegas plays in Miami. You talk about the AFC North teams going at each other. Those AFC games will be very sumptuous to watch on the weekend. And the thing is, Gabe, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers in particular, right? Terribly, they're awful from a stats perspective, but why are they 6-3? Because of the coaching from Mike Tomlin, the in-game adjustments. If the Bills had a Mike Tomlin, the Bills would be a lot better than what they are at 5-5. They probably would have been 8-2. And in reality, Gabe, we spoke about it last week. The Bills could easily be 3-7 with that Giants and Buccaneers game at home, which they almost lost, right, with the Hail Mary and the non-PI call that didn't go in favor for the New York Giants. So I think right now for the Buffalo Bills, they have to look themselves in the mirror. They've had a lot of primetime games, so the eyeballs have been on them in terms of how they've been playing, which has not been good football. But now you get the New York Jets on the weekend here. What will be the game plan for Ken Dorsey? Because that front seven for the New York Jets are monstrous. They're fast, and they come off the ball really quickly here. And if they get to Josh Allen early and often, and remember that Allen has not played well against the Jets for many years since he's come to the NFL. He's gotten hurt against them, didn't play well in week one on Monday Night Football. If they get to him early and often, This could be a very long game for this Bills offense. And as I said before, if the Jets can produce 20 points somehow, somewhere, they probably win this football game over the Buffalo Bills.
Mo Conkey with us. I am Gabriel Morenci. What do you think, Mo, to Thursday night? Or speaking of playing good football, the Baltimore Ravens are playing good football at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals coming off the heartbreaking loss to the Houston Texans yesterday. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. Total is 46. We actually have a real game on Thursday night. Amazon, which is rare. Very rare. So, yeah, Bengals. Listen, Al Michaels is taking a lot of heat and stuff for not being excited enough. And I understand a little bit. I think it is true. But at the same point in time, they get a lot of really, 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 really bad games and bad teams. So it's hard to be fired up about nothing. This is a game to get fired up about. I would expect Al to be like, Al's going to have a little extra jump in his step that he's actually got something to work with. Bengals and Ravens, what's your pick here? Who do you like? Ravens are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, Al Michaels might look like Josh Allen with some of the throws, right? Those fastballs he had. But I think like this game is gonna be intriguing because of the Bengals defense. Okay, the Bengals defense did not play well against the Texans on Sunday at home. And where it'll start from is the linebacking core, Logan Wilson, and what he does. Because you think about how deceptive this Todd Monken offense is for the Baltimore Ravens, with a lot of misdirection, a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of RPOs. If Logan Wilson can get his defense aligned properly here with the front four and the linebackers in particular, they can make this a lot trickier for the Baltimore Ravens, who are a bit banged up themselves. They're not healthy as anyone else is at this point in the year, Gabe. I will take the Bengals to win this game outright because Joe Burrow on the road is a lot better than Joe Burrow at home. I think they have the horsepower to do so. The offense has scored points against this Baltimore team. Marlon Humphrey is out. The secondary is banged up as we speak. So they'll put up the points for sure. But what it'll come down to is how does Logan Wilson line up his defense in the front seven? If he wins that chess match with Todd Monken, Lou Anarumo as well, the DC for the Bengals, that's what it'll come down to if the Bengals defense plays well. If they do, they win this game and a big one over the Baltimore Ravens.
As Mo alluded to, it's an important – it's starting to get every week is important in the National Football League now, especially with all these teams with similar records. There's not going to – tiebreakers are going to come into play, conference records, and – yeah, really, really is competitive this year. And we talked about the Houston Texans and what C.J. Stroud is doing. Unbelievable. Kyler Murray came back. And Kyler, you saw the spark that he provided for the Arizona Cardinals. You have Kyler Murray taking on C.J. Stroud this week, which is suddenly an interesting game. Houston Texans are 4-point favorites. 47.5 is the total. The Detroit Lions coming off their epic win in Los Angeles are 10-point favorites against the visiting Bears. Cowboys and Panthers will hit the lines and more. We'll talk some college on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, I see Sports Grid has already got a bunch of videos up of me melting down after the watching the game live. I just saw it right now, and I was like, what, am I frozen? I was actually in such shock, I didn't move for like 10 seconds. I literally was like, I was like, that's, man, I cannot believe that. Wow. All right. And for the record, out of spite, we jumped in on that Cal Bakersfield over 149.5. It was sailing over. We lost that bet. But then we won that the NBA over that we hit. And did we win this hockey game yet or what? Oh, God. I got under 6.5, and it's 5-1 with 3 minutes left right now. The Avalanche are up 5-1 on the Kraken right now. But we got crack because the Bills lost. But you know what? Whatever. It's time to move forward. And we were just talking about some of the games this week. Just a quick check. So the Bengals and Ravens are on Thursday night in Baltimore. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 46. We mentioned Kyler Murray is back. He gets the phenom, C.J. Stroud, the runaway rookie of the year. Houston, 4-point favorites. Total, 47.5. The Lions are 10-point chalk at home against the Bears. The total is 47. Cowboys lay 11 on the road in Carolina. The total is 42. Chargers are in Green Bay as 3-point favorites, over under 44. The Raiders, two-game win streak here with Antonio Pierce on the sidelines. But they played the New York Giants and the New York Jets. So now they're going to get the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are 11.5-point favorites. The over-under is 48. Giants are getting 10 against the Commanders, 37. And me and Mo talked, so big games in the NFC North. Pittsburgh Steelers, +4 at Cleveland, over-under 37. Tennessee are 6.5-point road dogs in Jacksonville, over-under 40. San Francisco hosts Tampa as 11-point favorites. The Rams are 1-point home underdogs. Matt Stafford will be back. Seattle, remember the Rams beat Seattle earlier this year. And then you got the Vikings and the Broncos and the big Monday nighter next week. The Kansas City Chiefs are 3-point favorites over the Philadelphia Eagles. Who do you like in that one, Mo? Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one. How healthy is Jalen Hurts? Yeah, how healthy is Jalen Hurts? You're playing a top five NFL defense on the road in Kansas City. What type of schemes will Andy Reid come up? He's 4-0 against the Eagles, right, since he's left Philadelphia in 2013. But I'm curious to know what will be the Eagles' game plan on the attacking front. And if Jalen's still banged up, Gabe, even coming off the bye week, you know they're going to pin their ears back, the Chiefs' front four, and attacking him. And I think right now, the biggest weak link right now, which was a perceived strength for them last year, is the Eagles' O-line. They've not played well, right? They've been pressurized quite a bit by opposing defenses. So I'm leaning towards the Chiefs to win this football game. And if the Eagles can't get their offense in order before they get the Cowboys, thinking 2-3 weeks from today, it could get very dicey for them because their schedule is a lot tougher themselves, like Buffalo's going into their next 7 games. So I think right now for Philadelphia, they got to win this game to kind of give themselves a bit of more of an insurance policy before they get the Cowboys in early to mid-December.
Well, you just said it right there, actually. There are so many big games and teams, good teams, playing against each other over the next month that the standings, there's going to be another cosmic shift with this stuff. You know, so yeah, speaking of which, like I said, there's so many. The Bills are playing all these teams. They'll either bury them or, and put it this way, and it's a leap of faith, but let's say the Bills beat the Chiefs and Eagles. Suddenly the Bills are back and they've got, you know, oh my God, they hit a low and all their, you know what I mean? They found themselves and all this. I'm not, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'm just stating, we see it all the time, bro. Every week in the NFL teams, everybody, people are ready to anoint the Niners the Super Bowl champs in the first month of the season. Then they lose 3 games in a row, right? Oh, the Bengals are back. Joe Burrow's amazing. And then Houston, you know, suddenly the Houston Texans are 5-4. It's suddenly the Broncos, right? The Broncos have won 3 or 4 games. It's a roller coaster, this stuff. We play 17 games, man. And it's going to be crazy to see how this plays out.
It really will be because there's so many compelling matches. We were given the eyesore games the last couple of weeks in prime time, right? But you look at the primetime schedule game from here on in, it's all mouth-watering matchups. The Sunday night game coming up next week with Monday night, Thursday night football this week. Then we've got the Thanksgiving games, which actually have more compelling angles to that, right, for next week's Thursday night football. For Thanksgiving. So I think there's so many good games coming up here, Gabe, that it's going to be not quarter by quarter, but play by play from here on in that could determine a team's season or not going towards December. So I cannot wait for these games to unfold in the next few weeks going towards the middle of December.
You're right. Even so, this week we've got some really big games here. Bengals, Ravens, super cool. Steelers, Browns, super cool. Raiders, Dolphins, super cool. What else do we got? We've got the great Monday nighter, the Jets, Bills, that sort of season on the line type of stuff for both teams on the hot seat right now. And as Mo alluded to, the following week, Thanksgiving is already here. And speaking of which, I guess it's a good time to tell you, since I'm cool, everybody's going to be off pretty much. I don't know how I got this gig here, Mo, but so basically we're going to be broadcasting on Thanksgiving night, Thursday night. We're going to be broadcasting Thursday night, the Thanksgiving night, and we'll be on live during the 49ers and the Seahawks game. So that's the good one. So the Thanksgiving schedule is Packers at Lions. It'll be interesting about the Lions. Commanders at Cowboys. And then the 49ers and Seahawks. There's good college football that night, too. I think that was Mississippi State that night. The Egg Bowl. So just for the record, so we're going to be on, but different start times, guys. We're going to be starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. I'm going to be on until midnight, 4-hour shows on Thursday and Friday next Thanksgiving. And just a quick reminder this week, of course, Formula One has arrived in Las Vegas. We're nearly ready to go. Opening ceremonies is Wednesday night. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday and Friday night from the D on Fremont Street in conjunction with Circus Sports. Of course, it's all part of the same, like, you know, block and complex. So major Rage announcement will be broadcasting Sports Rage live from the D Las Vegas on Thursday and Friday night, 7 to 10 p.m. Vegas time. See you there. And we're going to have a lot of guests that come on the show, going to be joining us live down there. It's going to be epic, and we're going to do the Formula One stuff. We'll cover that, but we're also going to be all covering all these football games and betting on all these games and everything. And, of course, college football as well. Washington and Oregon State, big game this week. But, Mo, the Michigan Wolverine story, old school. How can anybody not love the Blake Corum picture after a Blake Corum with his face look like an MMA fighter, look like a UFC fighter? Right? I mean, he's got, you know, bloodied face. His jersey's covered in blood. Michigan go in there and beat Penn State. And I'll tell you what, Mo, think about it. And this isn't a criticism of any of these other schools or teams. But what do you, would Alabama be able to win on the road against a top 10 opponent if you told them as they were in the air, oh, by the way, Saban can't coach tomorrow? If you did this to, if you took DeBoer away hours before the game for watching, like, not easy that, and pretty seamless, Coach Moore. And, you know, I get that they're sort of prepared for it and stuff, but it really is amazing that this Michigan team says, all right, you want to play games with us hours before the game? Fine. No problem. All you do is make us stronger. Now you got this Michigan versus everybody thing going. You got this bet thing going. And suddenly, Michigan, who are kind of like Duke, aren't really, you either like them or hate them. People think that, you know, people like the bad guy. People think that Michigan are being picked on, and now it's almost like, I want to see Michigan win now to screw everybody almost. What a win at Penn State, and they get past Maryland. Man, we're going to have one of the games of the centuries, bro, against Ohio State in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thank you, James Franklin, for being what he is. He's the Kirk Cousins of coaching the Big Ten, right? That's what he is. That's, you know, but... But this, see, college football, Gabe, they always do well with regular season numbers for TV, right?
Yeah, sorry, Mo, I was just thinking about, as a Bills fans being all like, just like, this sucks. We're just, it never. Penn State fans got to be gutted too, right? Just the same thing.
Yeah.
You beat everybody, boom. You lose to Ohio State and Michigan. You beat everybody, boom. You lose to Michigan and Ohio State. It's rinse and repeat.
Yeah, they butter up against Rutgers and, like, you know, Appalachian State, A&M, whatever it is. But for Michigan, though, this is great for TV numbers because they're going to have more eyeballs watching the game, big noon kickoff on Saturday against Maryland, and, of course, the big one against Ohio State the following weekend. If they do come away unscathed and get to the college football playoff four, Gabe, remember what happened the last couple of years with the TV numbers. They were pitiful. But with Michigan involved, that TV number, I think, will be one of the biggest because they're going to ask themselves, can
the
they win that?
The return of Harbaugh.
The return of Harbaugh. And it's a semifinal game. You might be paired up with Georgia, who knows, FSU, whatever it might be at that point, or Oregon, Washington, whatever it is. That game might be one of the highest viewed games on New Year's Day for the college football playoffs. And that's why you want Michigan to be relevant, at least until Ohio State. And then if they get by the Buckeyes, you want them to be undefeated because they will bring more compelling storylines and eyeballs towards that semifinal matchup in January 1st.
I don't think it's crazy to think that the loser of that game still gets in either, depending on what happens with other teams. It happened last year.
Yeah.
We've already seen it
happen. Yeah, it depends on how close the loss is, right? Because if Ohio State gets blown out, then I don't think OSU gets in, right? But if Michigan wins by a close draw, like by 2-3 points, I think Ohio State definitely keeps their case alive. But you have to look at Oregon and Washington, right? How will they fare? And remember, both those teams have in-state games coming up on Thanksgiving weekend. And remember last year, Oregon State beat Oregon at Corvallis. And in
that's
the
more
Cup,
dangerous,
you know,
one. Washington State aren't very good this year, right? So that's the that's the dangerous one this week. And Washington, Mo, they're really good. But you notice the Huskies, they live on big plays. Right, like
they
it's
do.
Always, yeah. It's always like, oh, it's danger, danger, and oh, what a touchdown! Oh, pick six, or you know what I mean? There's always sort of like a big play saves them. It's gonna catch up to them, bro. And look, everybody and thinks Oregon's gonna beat them in a rematch.
Right, and this is the last Apple Cup and the last Civil War, right? For who knows how long. So you know, Oregon State, and Wazoo are going to want to play their best football against these teams. They're going to bowl for the Big Ten after the season. But I just look at a team like Washington and how they fared against Utah. Gabe, they should have lost to the Utes, right? They had no business to win that football game. So I think Michael Penix Jr., you know, he's doing what he has to do. But the Huskies have holes on their defense that can be exploited. And you wonder now, however far they go in the Pac-12 and the conference-style game at that point, can they get exploited? If they do, they might get that loss on their resume and may not get in. So I think Washington might be the most vulnerable team going towards the final 2 weeks, if not 3 weeks, of the regular season and into the Pac-12 conference title game down the road.
And all people need to know about this game, how serious of a threat are the Beavers to the Huskies? The Beavers are 1.5-point favorites. They're favorites in the game. So
but this, they're tough.
They are, especially at home. Like at home, they're good. Yeah. They're good anywhere, but at home, it's sort of special. And honestly, when what like you said, Mo, the last they're the outsiders. They didn't get brought to the party and stuff. This is the last trip for Washington to go there. Washington are undefeated. The Beavers are 8-2. This is a massive. It's like the biggest game ever in Corvallis. Actually, like seriously,
it really
this
is.
This Saturday night, this is like the biggest game ever. Like the stakes are that high.
Yeah, until they play Oregon next week. They can wreck two seasons, right, in the span of like 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
But you look at Jonathan Smith, the head coach of Oregon State, right? I mean, if he does well against Washington, if he does well against Oregon the next couple weeks, he might be on the radar of Texas A&M because they need to get some big-name guy, right? It's not a big-name cycle this year. And he might be that guy that can come up in the ladder for A&M to look at down the road.
Everybody's going to be on the radar. They're throwing Dan Campbell's name out.
Deion Sanders.
it's just... Dan Lanning. That was the other people in Texas. Well, Dan Lanning. Why is he going to leave? We'll wrap up, Mo. Great cup on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, this is Sports Grid. We're on the clock right now. I can't believe, man, this 100, quickest 100 minutes of sports talk radio is real. And TV. So, Mo, the Grey Cup, good call by you. You called it. You said you think the Alouettes could actually win the game outright last week. I believed in this team, and now you're buying in, but they have a real tough test this week against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Hard to believe, everybody. This is the 110th edition of the Grey Cup championship game. That's right, the 110th edition. Yet Montreal or Winnipeg have never played each other before, which is pretty crazy because for the most part it was an 8-team league, 9 now, and we didn't even get to the NBA expansion stuff. Mo, I can't believe time just flew by tonight. We'll save that for next week. But what's your pick for the Grey Cup championship game? Winnipeg Blue Bombers are 7.5-point favorites over Montreal.
I got the Bombers covering, Gabe. I think Winnipeg's a different animal. They too have been in playoff mode like the Alouettes have been for the last 5 weeks because they were trying to protect themselves for home field against BC. I just worry the key will be the O-line for the Alouettes. How well can they protect Cody Fajardo in this football game in Hamilton? That front seven without Adam Big Hill for the Bombers are still potent and devastating. So if they cannot protect Fajardo, it could be a long day for them. And on the flip side, though, right, you look at Zach Kolaros, did not have his best season in the CFL this year. I think he's saving his best for now, and I think the Alouettes will lose this football game. I think the Bombers win this by a score 33 to 23, I beg your pardon, over the Alouettes on Sunday in Hamilton.
Interesting. So you think there's going to be some points put up on the board?
Yeah, I think so. I think both offenses can put up points. I think both defenses will create
turnovers. Montreal's special team is good, too, right? They're going to kick off, good field
too,
position,
right?
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget, Michael Shea is a special team savant, right? So I think both teams will have impacts from those units, but I think they will put up points in this football game. So give me the over and the Bombers to cover as well, please.
Great stuff, Mo. I can't believe our time flew by. I wanted to get into a lot more stuff, including Adam Silver throwing out earlier during the broadcast tonight in Knicks Celtics that the NBA is interested. He didn't say these cities are interested. He goes, we're interested. He goes, we're interested in Mexico City, Vancouver, and Montreal, which means Vancouver and Montreal are going to battle it out. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Peace.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.